Lord Jesus, for our hope is in you. It is not in the office of the President of these United States. It is not in the seats of Congress, senators, seat of the Senate, but it's in you. And so we come now to ask that you would preach to us. I thank you for the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk to proclaim the word of the true and living God. Thank you for reminding us this morning that you are a God of all creation. You are the God who sustains us, who hold the sun, the moon, and the stars in their places. That you are the God who redeems us. No matter how deep we are in sin, your power, your arm of salvation can reach us. And we thank you. We pray now that you would preach to us because of your excellency, that you would have us to know this day that we should have faith when nothing happens. Thank you again. Speak, Lord Jesus, your servants here. Open our hearts, our minds, to receive the spoken word. For it's in the precious name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who believe that God is God and above him there is none other, said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. On Thursday, several members of our church were honored for their life, their ministry, their membership in the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. I was not here. I was at the convention. I'm grateful to Second Baptist for making the provisions available for Deacon and Mrs. Martin, Trustee and Mrs. Jack Carter, Reverend and Mrs. Jemison, Marion Olison, and DeLois Lewis to go represent the church in Houston. It was a great convention. We have seen the convention when it had over 5,000 in attendance. The convention, like all religious organizations, are finding themselves suffering for people. And the count that I'm told was 1,500. Is that right, Deacon Martin? Deacon Martin serves as one of the ushers and lead usher, holds a position, and teller. And so we thank you, Deacon Martin, for your commitment to excellence in serving God through the convention. Come on, help me thank God for Deacon Martin. President Perkins, though he has been ill over the year, last year he was not able to make the convention. This year he came in his weakness in the body. He came a strong in spirit, preached a dynamic, gave a dynamic address, and preached on the end about Christ and the church of Christ. We are praying for him. The Midwinter Board will be held in the Bahamas. Amen. Second is not able to send all of you to the Bahamas. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I won't be going. Come on, I won't be going. And I think just about four of us will be going, Deacon Martin and Mrs. Martin, Reverend and Mrs. Jemison. He goes because he has a position of leadership. I go because I have a position of leadership. Amen. Now, we can arrange for you to go through a travel agent if you want to go. Uh-oh, y'all got real quiet. Amen. Thank you. Those of you who are honored, would you please stand that we may recognize everyone that was honored for their longevity and for their ministry? Would you please stand? Sister Rep. All right, Shirley. Thank you. The Bells, the Emrys, Mrs. Joshua, Mrs. Thurston, did you stand? No. Ms. Bean, were you honored? Nope. Or Gwen. Gwen, all right. Come on, let's praise God for Gwen Duncan. Even when I funk in my preaching and know I flunked, Gwen would say, Reverend, that was a great sermon today. I got a whole lot out of that. Amen. Thank you for the words of encouragement. I regret that I was not there. Sharing in the preaching of the gospel, in the gospel according to Mark chapter 9. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, beginning with that 14th verse, I'm sorry, that 21st verse, and reading through the 29th. And Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and unto the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he, the boy, was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, you ought to be shot right there, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he, Jesus, said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you must have, you should have, you got to have faith when nothing happens. Come on here. You got to have. You must have. You just got to have it. Faith when nothing happens. Paul Tillett, the great theologian, in his writing, in his book, The Shaking of Our Foundations, writes to tell us who and what faith, who God is, and what faith does for us. Tillett says that God and faith is the foundation of our being. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 3, God speaks to Moses on the backside of a mountain. Moses, the son of a Hebrew woman, the son of a Hebrew man, the son of slaves, placed in a basket. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe herself. Bathing herself, she noticed this basket in the water. She calls for a servant who goes and picks the basket up. The Bible says that when they opened the basket, that the child cried. That's a shouting point there. And there's an instructional point there. Some people cry at the wrong time. And they cry for the wrong reason. And they cry before folk who can't help them. Are you walking with me? Moses, as a little baby, had sense enough to cry in the place of power where Pharaoh's daughter could help. The Bible says that he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. But rather than enjoying the riches of Pharaoh, he chose. There's a choice to be made, and he makes the choice to live and to fight and to do God's will on the behalf of the Hebrew nations. The Bible says that he's on the backside of a mountain, and that there is a bush that is burning, but it's something different about this bush that is burning. The Bible says it is not consumed. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that burns in our hearts and that moves in our lives. It burns us, but it doesn't burn us up. It energizes us. It inspires us to be all that we can be through the power of the Almighty God. It is there that the curiosity of Moses is risen in his life and in his body and in his spirit, and he moves toward the bush. The Bible says that as he moved towards the bush, there was a voice. Thank God for the voice that comes to encourage us, to instruct us, to give us a vision. Says to him, "Moses, Moses, take off your feet, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." Do I have somebody here preaching with me? Do I have some Sunday school people? Am I telling the story right? The Bible says that God said to Moses, "Moses, go down." Our forefathers put it this way: "Go down, way down in Egypt land, and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go." Moses adheres to the will and to the way of God. Uses a couple of excuses, but thank God that God doesn't look and listen to our excuses. If God listened to our excuses, we wouldn't be here today. If God listened to our complaints, we wouldn't be here today. But the Bible says that he goes and he tells Pharaoh to let God's people go. But in Exodus chapter 3, we get a picture of who God is, and we get a picture of his personality. We get a picture of his traits, and we can see God in Exodus chapter 3. For in Exodus chapter 3, God says to Moses, "I have heard." Help me, somebody. That means that God has the ability to hear our prayers, to hear our callings, to hear through the interpretation of the Holy Spirit our groanings. And so the Bible helps me to understand that the God that I serve is no idle God. That the God that I serve, he has ears and he can hear. And then he says, "Not only have I heard, but I have seen the afflictions of my people, the afflictions that the Pharaohs have put on my people." And so the Bible helps me to understand that God not only hears, but he sees. And that the God that we serve
is a God of compassion. And he says, I have come down. I've come down to deliver them. This is the God of liberation. He liberates us from our sins. He liberates us from the oppression that sin and that people put upon us. And so when I look at the text this morning, I see in this text a father that is concerned about his son. He's concerned about the illness that his son has. He's concerned about the periods when his son begins to mumble and his mouth forms in his mouth and he throws himself into the water, into the fire. Notice that this takes place after Jesus has been on the Mount of Transfiguration, after he has taken with him Peter, James, and John. Notice the Bible helps me and gives me a hint that you can't always take everybody with you. Oh, y'all not walking with me. That there are some folk you just need to leave at the foot of the mountain. You need them at the foot of the mountain because they doubt the vision. You leave them at the foot of the mountain because they won't give to support the ministry of the church. You leave them at the foot of the mountain because they're always complaining. Jesus left his disciples, 9 of them, at the foot of the mountain. He takes with him Peter, James, and John. These are fishermen. These are men who know the sea and who know the struggles that when the wind blows and when the storm rises, if you have Jesus on board and faith that he will bring you through, he takes them with him. While he's up there, he's transfigurated before them. His countenance changes. What they saw going up, once they got up on the mountain, they saw something different. That helps me to understand that in faith, we grow in stages. That we began by joining the church, but we grow as we study God's word, as we participate in the various ministries of the church. I would not be in a choir that did not sing the praises of God in the church of God. I would not be standing as an usher in a congregation where people do not appreciate the beauty of the sanctuary of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that, like David, we need to say to the world in faith, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of sinners. And so when Jesus is up there, Peter speaks up in the moment of transfiguration. He see the two prophetic persons. He see the two prophets who have come to talk to God. And we need to talk to Jesus. And when Peter saw this great gathering of the old and the new, he said, look at here, why don't we be real Baptists and start another church? Y'all missed that. You see, when folk disagree or when folk agree, they split. But the Baptist church is the only church I know that grows by splitting. Y'all missing it. We split over everything. We split over the fact that I don't like the color of the usher's uniform. And so I'm not going to be an usher anymore because I voted for blue and they gave me azure blue. I'm not going to be in the choir because they don't sing spirituals anymore. But let me help you here. It's not the choir, it's you. It's not the usher board, it's you. If you're committed to Christ, you'll work wherever Christ has placed you. You will bloom wherever you are planted. Don't like the preacher because he can't sing. So I'm going to go join a church where the preacher sings. When the Lord take his singing voice, you come back over here. Hallelujah. You know I'm telling the truth. Let's start another. And Jesus said, no, there's work to be done at the foot of the mountain. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, at the foot of the mountain, when it seems like nothing is going on, we still have to have faith. Let me just share these three things about faith and about this story. Faith is reaching beyond our grasp. Faith is reaching beyond your grasp. There is a difference between believing and seeing. There's a difference between believing Christ because you see him and believing that Christ is the resurrected one because of the testimony of those who have seen him. You remember Thomas, don't you? After the resurrection, the disciples are up in an upper room. They are up. They are locked up because they are afraid of what the church folk, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what they would do to them. They are locked up, but thanks be to God that the God that I serve has power to come through locked doors. That he comes through hearts that are been made heavy and been made callous by what others have done. The Bible says that the disciples said to Thomas, Thomas, you should have been here. You missed church at the wrong time because Jesus came. That helps me to understand that every time I have the opportunity to go to God's house, that every time I have the strength to go to God's house, I need to go. For the time that I may not be there, that may be the time that God shows up, that the Holy Spirit comes and revives our soul again. And so, my brothers and sisters, faith is reaching beyond our grasp. We should show faith not by emotions. You remember, Thomas said, I won't believe it. I will not believe it until I put my hands, my finger in the nail print and put my hand in his side. He's saying, before my faith kicks in, I have to touch the master. But thanks be to God that God enables us who have not seen him to believe that he is the resurrected son, that Jesus Christ is the resurrected son of our Lord and of our Savior. We should show faith, not emotions. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I got in my car this morning, and guess what? Jackie got in the same car, but her key did not work. We have this key that operates by the battery. And I need to tell you something. Sometimes when your battery goes low and it seems like you cannot get started, there is help on the way. There is somebody that still has enough faith that will work this thing out. And she said, Jemison, my key won't work. But guess what? When I got in the car, she just pushed the button, and guess what? The car started. When you go through your trials in life, don't worry about it. Just keep pressing the start button. For God moves in mysterious ways, and his wonders to perform. So, my brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 tells us we walk by faith. So faith is reaching beyond our grasp. The young man, the father said to disciples, heal my son. They could not heal him. And so when Jesus came down off the mountain, he saw the crowd and the murmuring in the crowd. He asked the question, what's going on? And somebody told him, the father came and told him, I asked your disciples to heal my son, and they could not do it. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, there are some things preachers can't do. There are some things the trustees can't do. There are some things that deacons cannot do. There are some things that only Jesus can do. Why only Jesus? Because he is a son of the living God. Why only Jesus? Because he is God incarnate. He's God in the flesh. Why only Jesus? Because his Father has given him the power to do so. So the faith reaches beyond our grasp. He said, Lord, if you can, there is some doubt in his speaking. Lord, if you can, can you hear Jesus? Can you see Jesus in your sanctified imagination talking about what? If I can. Do you know in Genesis 1:1, I said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you not know that in Genesis 2, I took the rib of Adam and made a woman? And you talking about if you can? I can do. And all things are possible if only you have faith. If only you have faith, you can make it. You remember. Barack Obama, who had the audacity, his audacity was locked up in his faith. That's why he said, yes, we can. And that's why our forefathers said, yes, we can be free. Yes, we can serve God. Yes, we can be free. Yes, our children can go to college. Yes, if you only believe. I like what the Father said. He said, Lord, I got faith. I got some belief. But help my unbelief. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, all of us got some unbelief. All of us don't really, really have the kind of faith that we need to have. That's why we sing, Lord, increase my faith. And Jesus helps us by saying faith is all or nothing. Faith is all or nothing. If only you can believe. All things are possible if only you can believe. I like what I read about Peter. Bible says that when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. Peter and the disciples are going to the other side. Jesus has gone up a mountain to pray, but he comes walking on the water. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, Jesus walked on the water. And Peter tried it. Oh, y'all not walking with me. The Bible says that when Peter heard that it was the Lord, they thought it was a ghost, but it was the Lord. And Peter puts on his garment, his outer garment, and jumps into the water. Have you ever had a crisis in your life in which you deliberately, honestly, and recklessly pursued the crisis? Peter was in the boat. There's safety in the boat. You don't need faith when you are in the ark of safety. You need faith to keep you in it. Peter said, if that's you, Lord, here's that doubt again, bid me to come to you. Jesus said to Peter, with no highway, no alley, no street, come. Can you see Peter in your sanctified imagination? Say, I'm getting out of this boat. He steps out the boat and he starts walking, and the sea is calm and placid. But then all of a sudden, the wind began to blow. The waves began to beat upon his feet. And Peter, instead of looking at Christ and saying, I've come this far, by faith, leaning and trusting on the Lord, Peter looks down and doubt enters into his being and he began to sink. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, faith is all or nothing. Peter going down in the water. The boy's father said, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus asked where the boy was. They brought the boy to Jesus. Peter knew where Jesus was. He saw him, but as he's going down, he didn't pray a long prayer. He didn't pray a long prayer. He's going down. He didn't start off by talking about the excellency of God. He didn't start off thanking God. He didn't pray a prayer of intercession for anybody but himself. He said, Lord, save me. Oh, yeah. Can I help you here? It doesn't take a long prayer for salvation. It doesn't take a long prayer. God understands. He knows all about our situation. And Dr. Caesar Clark said, if you pray often and you talk to God often, you will have so much to tell him at one time. Help me, somebody. So the Bible says that Peter just said, Lord, help me. Save me. And thanks be to God that when we take that leap, when we walk into the water, we know that God is there to help us in every crisis. And the Bible says that Jesus reached down and took Peter by the hand and lifted him up, and they both walked on the water to get back into the boat. Can I help you here? Whenever you think your salvation is leaving you, just call on Christ to help you. Lord, save me. And walk with him wherever he goes, wherever he leads me. The songwriter says, I will follow. Finally, my brothers and sisters, faith is having a resurrection destination. Faith is having a resurrection destination. Notice what the crowd said about the boy. He's dead. When Lucifer gets through messing and shaking us, guess what? He turns us loose when he thinks we're dead. And the Bible says that they said, the crowd, he's dead. But thanks be to God that God knows how to raise the dead. God knows how to infuse us with power when it seems like life has left us and we're powerless. The Bible says Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the boy breathed. The boy came to life. Can I close when I tell you this? God still has a way of raising dead bodies. Some of us are dead in the spirit. But if you give God a chance, he will bring you back to life. Some of us have become tired on the journey. But can I tell you this? Do not be weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. Some of us have become discouraged and think our work's in vain. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that comes to revive our soul again. The hymn writer writes, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. You may remember the Bible tells us that on that Friday, out on Calvary, that Jesus died. He didn't faint, he died. He didn't fall asleep, he died. The Bible said that Jesus, the Son of the living God, Daniel's rock hewed out the mountain, rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the foundations of the world, that Jesus the Christ died. Jesus, oh yeah, Jesus, the horse pined in the valley, he died. But thanks be to God that on that third day morning, after he had rested in the, I'm talking about God knows how to raise the dead. Paul says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I don't know about you, but I read somewhere that if I suffer with him, if I die with him, that I shall reign with him. Faith is having a resurrection destiny that God has appointed for your life. I like the Bible. He says, I know those plans I have for you. The plans to do you good and not to harm you. Is there anybody here that's been living in God's plan? Seem like you've died, but thanks be to God, he has resurrection power. He has a power to raise you up. And I don't know how you feel about it, but one of these days, I too, trusty Joshua, I too shall die. But I got a resurrection destiny. Heaven is my home. That's why when you see me singing down here, I'm sending up timber. When you hear me praying down here, I'm sending up timber. When you hear me preaching down here, I'm sending up timber, because I have a faith destination. It's not this world, for this world is not my home. I too shall listen for Gabriel's horn. The Bible says that in that last day, Gabriel shall blow his horn. He shall blow so loud until the dead in Christ shall rise. Don't know where you going to be. Don't know where I will be, but I will be somewhere listening for my name. And if there's noise going on, I'm going to say, hush. Hush, somebody's calling my name. It sounds like Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is reaching beyond your grasp. And then faith is saying all or nothing. And then faith is having a resurrection destination where Jesus Christ is king. And where they sing just one song. Holy. Holy. Holy and worthy is the Lamb. That's all, folks. I ain't got no more. Holy. Holy. Reach beyond your grasp. Jump into the water. Have a resurrection destination. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Josephus says that when they finished, after he raised the boy, the father invited Jesus to his house. On the way to the house and in the house, the disciples said, Lord, what's wrong here? Why couldn't we have done that? He said, only some things are done by what? Prayer. And fasting. Church is standing. Door to my Father's house. Like the Lord Jesus. No. No. Come on, help us. Jesus knows all
Jesus knows all.
To the chancel choir, thank you for great music today. Come on, help me thank them. Thank you. You're going to be my traveling partner today as we go over to New Union. And to the Fidelity Usher Board, thank you for committing your service to God beyond Second Baptist Church. Visitors, thank you again for coming. We hope that you'll come again and that you'll make Second Baptist your church home. God of grace, God of mercy, God of love, the God of the resurrection, how thankful we are that you are a God who loves us, that you hear us, that you see our struggles, that you come down to liberate us. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and for the faith that we have in him and the love that he has for us. And now, our God, dismiss us. Dismiss us with the knowledge that faith is reaching beyond our grasp. That faith is all or nothing. Faith is having a resurrection destination. Thank you. Come now and go with us. For those who are traveling, may your grace be on the highway or the airways with them. However they travel, may they know that they do not travel alone, that the omnipresent God is with them. Thank you again for those who have come, who have served you and were honored on Thursday. May they continue to serve you. Though tired, may they say in the words of the song, he's brought me this far, not to leave me. And I'm tired, but I'm not giving up. Bless, Lord. May your peace, may your Holy Spirit, may your presence be with us wherever we may go. For it's in the precious name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Thank you.